Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Hello, you're listening to Creative Control with Vish Khanna. I'm Vish. This is episode 272, but it's different than the other episodes. Let me explain. Over the past couple of years, I've been asked if I might ever dip into my archives and repost interviews that I've conducted for magazines or from my old CFRU radio program, the Mish Vish Interracial Morning Show. I've resisted doing this because it's part of my past, and things like technology and also my practice have evolved since then. That said, I have recently been contemplating doing this from time to time when it seems relevant, and given that the Tragically Hip are starting what appears to be their final tour tonight across Canada, they're starting tonight, July 22nd in Vancouver, I thought I'd begin this archive process, if you will, with a chat that I conducted with Gord Downie. This interview was conducted on May 20th, 2010, for a piece in Exclaim magazine and also for the Mish Vish show, and it's about Gord's solo album at the time, The Grand Bounce. The interview sounds pretty good, and it has some insights into his life and work, and you'll also hear a couple of songs from The Grand Bounce as well. And, you know, I'm planning on seeing the Tragically Hip a few times this summer. I hope you are able to go, too. In any case, for now, let's go back to May 2010 for a chat with one of my heroes, Gord Downie. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Mish Vish Interracial Morning Show on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. My name is Vish, and our guest this week is Toronto's Gord Downie, a genuine hero of mine who has redefined rock and roll music in this country. Over the past 25 years, he's led Kingston, Ontario's The Tragically Hip, who write and perform songs that are uncommonly challenging and great, and probably becoming one of Canada's most popular and influential bands as a result. Away from the hip, Downie has written poetry, acted in films, collaborated with people like the Sadies, and formed another band called the Country of Miracles, whose notable membership includes Julie Doran, Dave Clark, Dale Morningstar, Josh Finlayson, and John Press. Together, the Country of Miracles conceived of a bold and graceful third album called The Grand Bounce, which is available now. Here to tell us more about it is the incomparable Gord Downie. Good morning, Gord.
Hello, Vish. Good morning.
How's it going?
Oh, it's just dandy. How are you doing?
I'm very well. It's nice to have you on the show. It's a big thrill.
Good to be here. Thank you. Likewise.
Now, Gord, I really enjoyed reading the introductory essay about The Grand Bounce, which is up on gorddowney.com. It's very entertaining. I enjoyed it very much. No problem. In it, you highlight much of the inspiration for the record. You cite the many conversations, anecdotes, and art by others that are kind of floating within these songs. I'm curious, what compelled you to sort of spill the beans and frame the record so explicitly for listeners?
Well, probably like any good fox, to throw off the scent to more beans that could be spilled, I suppose. There's a greater cache out there in here, Vish.
Yes.
Just to try, yeah. I'm just distracting you from. In general, probably with any record, there's a lot of beans to be spilled. And I've in the past kind of held on to them, probably too selfishly, probably like a car maker or something like that, or a pie maker who doesn't want you to see how I make it.
A pie maker.
Well, I think of the Big Apple on the 401 where you can stand at the window and watch them.
Right, outside
of the pies. And
outside of Coburg there.
But the Big Apple knew a long time ago, car makers and other people are just getting the hang of now. They're discovering something called connectivity and process. In fact, no, little elves don't deliver it to you while you sleep. People make these things and go through a long and beautiful process to do it. And I would be selfish not to allow people to kind of see at least part of that.
I guess it's assumed that a lot of, you know, art is a reflection of the artist's perspective on life. But, you know, we seldom get a firsthand account of where a contemporary work is coming from, you know, unless you do an interview like this one.
Mm.
So I guess I wondered why you just wanted to just unleash, you know, you just tell people right away, here's where everything's coming from.
Here's where some of the things are coming from.
Right, right. That makes sense to me.
That's why we're doing this interview, Vish.
Yes, exactly.
Get to the rest.
Get to the rest. Within that essay, you describe the grand bounce as a term meaning desertion. I'm wondering why was that notion compelling to you?
Well, it's funny. I liked the term, probably first and foremost. I took it from a gentleman named Evan S. Connell's book called Son of the Morning Star about Custer and the battle at Little Bighorn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exhaustive, comprehensive look at the events and people leading up and, you know, interweaving through that story until the battle itself and afterwards. And that on in and of itself is of interest to you if it's of interest to you. The prose is luminous. It took me 2 years to read, I think. And that doesn't make me a hell of a guy. But in there, they talk about soldiers deserting. And they didn't call it deserting. They called it taking the grand bounce.
Right.
And I like that, just the turn of phrase to begin with. And I never really thought about it. But as I kind of zeroed in on the time to pick a title, it really just compelled me. It wouldn't leave me alone. And probably because when I kind of attached it to each song in turn, it worked. And I thought it doesn't necessarily just work with these songs. It might work with all songs and all things, because I kind of think that desertion is everywhere all the time. You know, it's probably the easiest answer.
Yeah, no, that's a fair answer for sure. I guess in the context of you making a solo record, and, you know, kind of doing something outside of what you're maybe primarily known for, it has an interesting connotation.
Mm. Yeah, and that sort of occurred to me too late to do anything about it. And it occurred to me, and I still don't think I would have changed the title, because I know why I titled the record.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I think we desert ourselves. We desert, like I say, desertion is everywhere. We desert ourselves and, like, you know, our values, our convictions.
Mm-hmm.
We desert our morals, our, you know, better judgment, like our memories, our promises, our nature,
right,
our God. You know, we're doing it all the time. You know, it's in the wedding vow, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. You know, I'm not deserting you, honey, I'm just dying. You know, and fight or flight, you know.
Yeah,
this idea of fighting, you know, fighting for a just cause, or running from a lost cause, or, you know, and what's honor and what is courage, and does it take, you know, when you're doing what you think is right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long and short of it, it just seems sort of bottomless to me, and that's why I chose it as a title,
right?
Because I wanted something kind of bottomless.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sound of the Country of Miracles band, it has progressed a lot since the release of your first record, Coke Machine Glow, in 2001. It seems to have gone from kind of a found sound or feeling out experiment to something where the songs on the Grand Bounce, for example, are more structured, more arranged. I'm curious if you feel that the band dynamic has changed much since you first got together, and if so, what may have brought this shift on?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the last time we played together was 7 years ago. We just played this past week, and it didn't seem like 7 years, you know, for whatever that's worth. So I doubt we all stayed the same in that time. we just fell in with each other, and that's sort of what you do. And I think you get together and you stay together because of the company, because you enjoy each other's company, because you enjoy making music for no other reason than to hear the sound again. And that would be, that would sort of describe us, the Country of Miracles. On a personal level, I just assume I'm trying to get better, period. As, you know, as a person, I guess I have faith that, you know, I do this stuff every day, I work at it, I just have faith and trust and hope that I sort of improve, and I'm not dead set on improving, and I'm not, I'm not worried about good versus bad versus, and so I tell my kids, you know, I mean, just make a friend of the thing, being the instrument they choose. You know, don't worry about the rest. So really, that's what I'm trying to do. And so the songs probably reflect that.
I mean, that does speak to, it sounds like it speaks to you. The Country Miracles is interesting because, unlike most bands who do progress because they play together a lot, your band, this particular band, doesn't have that luxury. It doesn't have that growth that happens maybe on the road or wherever else. So I guess I'm curious, particularly since, as I say, the first record, there has been a progression from, I think, more what, I don't like using the term experimentation because it's loaded, but the sounds were kind of more off kilter, and now it seems like it's more like these are songs that have a point A and a point B. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know all the players in this group, and you know they rarely put their instruments down, maybe to have a sandwich. but that's about it. They're always playing, so that makes for suppleness and agility, obviously, that they had anyway, and that it's probably speaks to their just, you know, their joy, you know, in making music,
right?
And, which I find, you know, very attractive, obviously. Again, for no other reason than to hear the sound again,
right?
It seems to me, you know. I had a tab stamp, you know, because I don't know what all the chords are all the time. And the tab stamp, just because I realized I didn't remember how to play some stuff. And so I sort of retaught myself all the songs. And, you know, the tab stamp didn't get a real workout on the earlier material. Like three, junk, junk, junk. And that's Chancellor, you know.
Yeah.
And but these later ones are more complex. There's more parts. Like you said, there's a bit more of a map at work. And I didn't, you know, that's just what it is. And that's how I'm, you know, I like to say I'm trying to express my best feelings perfectly. Well, that's all that is. It's just, that's where I'm at now, and this is how I'm doing it.
Right.
Which is much of an answer, I guess, but...
No.
But I hear what you're saying. Like, Coke Machine Glow is very... You could hear all the scraping of the chairs. You could hear a door closing. You could hear muttering here and there. Again, sort of found objects and things that gave it a lot of personality, and that was the case through Battle of the Nudes that Dale and I did together. But I was more curious with this one, and it obviously leads to Chris Walla, who, you know, the record came about because of him, you know, just meeting him at Pemberton and chatting with him. I wasn't even thinking about a solo record, and I came away from there, and again, like an idea that sort of wouldn't leave me alone, I was interested in what would happen if Chris got together with these guys. His sort of sonic sense, with their spirit, their sense of spirit, for lack of a, you know, better and more extensive descriptions of both.
Sure.
You know, and I was, it was a hunch that together we would do something fun and interesting. And it still has a lot of that. It still maintains a lot of those characteristic moments.
Oh, no, are, certainly. Yeah, no.
They're self-reflexive and, I think, hint at something like process.
Sure. No, I appreciate that as well. It just, as I say, there's a trajectory to what's happened with you going solo and working with people like Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie. It just, it's an interesting one, and I thought I'd ask you about it. So.
Yeah.
As a writer, I assume you must have... music piles and poetry piles, and I don't know, maybe even prose piles. I don't know. Is there anything in particular that gets, that puts a new song of yours in either the Country of Miracles pile or the Tragically Hip pile?
No. I mean, I still adhere to the adage, use it up, the Raymond Carver adage, which is don't save a thing for later. And that just lets me sleep at night, you know. So I get it and use it, and whatever is up next, I do. So I'm in a bit of trouble. I collaborate with Buck 65 on something, and I'd written The Drowning Machine already.
Yeah, and it's on his new record. It's hopefully coming out at some point.
Well, this is what I haven't heard the finished copy. I emailed him the other night about it, and I haven't heard back, so I was tempted to email and say...
they're quite different.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And but I finished The Drowning Machine, and then I was in a Vancouver hotel when he hit me with an email and the music. And, you know, I literally had The Drowning Machine sort of sitting on the table in front of me, and I was saying, don't do it, Gord, don't you do it, don't you do it. You've already got a home for these words. And but I was up front with him. I said, listen, but they worked. I put those lyrics to Drowning Machine. I had a lot of extra lyrics that I put to his music.
Yeah.
And so it changes. It's different. But I got, you know, kind of intrigued by the idea of two different songs.
Yeah.
And he was cool with that, too. And then the race was on to see who would get the song out first.
Well, it seems like you're winning.
Yeah. Like, I don't... but I haven't talked to him, like, what he even calls his song or anything like that.
Well, and we can talk about this while we're listening to a song. I can send you a copy of it if you like, or I'm sure Rich can too. But I will tell you, totally different arrangements and feels, and his song's great, your song's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying, Gord, I don't think you have much to worry about.
Well, it was interesting because we talked about it and talked about The Drowning Machine itself and mm-hmm. what it meant, and he wanted to know kind of what I thought it meant, and of course, you know, it's someone talking to the sea.
Yes.
Or talking to a big body of water, and one might as well, you know, yell at the waves to stop crashing so much. It's, you know, for whatever you want to call that. And, you know, and we ultimately touched on the idea of God. And I think he's taking on the voice of God. And I said, better you than me, man.
It's particularly interesting because Rich doesn't know how to swim.
Right.
He's deathly afraid of the water.
These are things I didn't know.
Well, see, now it's all coming together.
So there you go. I'm interested to hear it.
Yeah.
But that was a case of, you know, the lyrics were in front of me. I put them to Rich's song. I already had them for my song, and I thought, oh man, you can't do this. And I thought, well, why can't you? You
know. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Well, right now I thought we'd actually hear a song from The Grand Bounce, and I was hoping you might pick one for us to hear, Gord.
Well, see one, play one, I guess. The Drowning Machine?
That seems to make sense to me at this point. We'll be back with more with Gord Downie, but first here's The Drowning Machine from The Grand Bounce by Gord Downie and The Country of Miracles on the Mish Vish Interracial Morning Show on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
I am the rail. Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Mish Vish Interracial Morning Show on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. That was The Drowning Machine by Gord Downie and the Country of Miracles from their new record, The Grand Bounce, which is out now. You can get more information about this at gorddowney.com. The band will be playing the Hillside Festival in Guelph this July 23rd to 25th, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Gord Downie. Gord, we were discussing the Country of Miracles band a little while ago there, before the break, before the song. As we mentioned, it reconvenes every few years to make a record and a tour. Some of my favorite musicians in the band, they're often very busy, and I assume that the job of spearheading a get-together falls to you, outside of your own schedule and the hip and whatever else. Beyond, like, available time on calendars, what is it that compels you to get the Country of Miracles back to work?
Well, that's a very good question, Vish. Sorry, I'm just opening the door.
This sounds like Coke Machine Glow.
Yeah, except they're older now. Yeah. Just a second.
Yeah, of course.
A space oddity. Someone got a ringtone.
Oh, well, there
David
you go.
Bowie ringtone, that shows you.
It's space oddity, too. Well,
yeah,
That's great.
sorry, Vish, where were we?
You were commending me for my amazing question.
Which I don't remember.
I was saying, what exactly compels you to get the Country of Miracles back together beyond free time, free you know, available time for everyone?
Yeah, well, I mean, when this time around, as I say, I was I'd met Chris, and it started me thinking about a solo record. It started me thinking about the guys and how much I missed them, and I had sort of committed myself to, you know, really going great guns with the hip for 4 or 5 years, which is what I did the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that finished, I was, you know, I craved the company of a project. You know, these records as you're making them are great company. And beyond that, I craved their company. These are some of my oldest friends here in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So I've been here about 20 odd years now. The rest, you know, and they're just really, you know, a lot of fun to be with. There's, I think I mentioned before, just a joy and an approach that they take that I find incredibly inspiring. And, you know, I am sort of a lifelong intern here, learning on the job, you know, and they teach me a ton.
Yeah.
about music, about approach, about attitude. About risk and reward, you know,
mm-hmm.
cause and effect. And I couldn't ask for, you know, I couldn't ask for more.
So it's a yearning on your part to be like, you know, I miss everyone. Let's get this going again.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's, you know how it works in this music business. You say, see you later, and you have no idea it's going to be 6 years.
Yeah.
But it can happen. Yeah. And as I say, like Dale, Dave, Julie, Josh, John Presley's are very inspiring musicians to play with. Mm-hmm. They're very generous and very, very encouraging. The mandate is a smile, really. Just put a smile on your face, and you know, you're not baling hay here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of smiles, I've had the impression from you that the summertime is something of a muse. It seems to be a season you write about quite a bit. On the new record, there's a song called "Yellow Days," where you talk about the summer a little bit, and there's maybe other references too that are on there. And you often bring the Country Miracles out on tour for folk festivals in the summer. Gord, are you infatuated with the summertime?
Well, I mean, I don't know what you do all winter, but me, like many other Canadians, hole up somewhere and for 8 months of the year and shudder and shake. I look forward to it. I look forward to music in the summertime, and I know a lot of other people do too.
Yeah.
You know, it's... you know, the stuff we do when you're making music, when you're playing it live, it's disappearing as you're doing it. At the point that it, you know, comes out, it's disappearing. So what is it that we're all after? And it's experience, I think, and the experience, and transient as it is, that's what we want. And there's something, when you're playing outside and the big sky and the sounds, melodious air drifting across all lines in the sand and borders and barriers, you know, and drifting off into the sky. I mean, I really think that's what we Canadians, it's our reward for being so polite.
So it's not a coincidence then that these things sort of tend to emerge in the spring and summer and bring you out to play.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's,
all right, and as a muse, as a lyricist, it's just fun to sing about the summer.
Well, it is. It's hard. It's fun to put, you know, again to try and express that, to try and express your best feelings about your best feelings.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Oh, you get.
Oh, look out,
is
Guelph.
It space oddity.
Look out, Guelph.
Well, before we let you go, Gord, it sounds like you got something to deal with, so I don't want to keep you too much longer. I'm wondering if you can tell us about your plans now that the Grand Bounce is out. How long are you planning to tour with the Country Miracles, for example?
Yeah, well, we're going to do this summer, bouncing around folk festivals, blues festivals, rock festivals, country festivals.
Oh, cool.
Just to show you how
you have range. You have tons of range in this band. Yeah,
we're very secure with our identity. And then in the fall, a proper tour, which we're just sort of mapping out across Canada, and then all the while sort of looking at getting down to the States in the new year and doing that whole job.
Wow! So all of this with the Country Miracles band.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I was. Well, I don't want to say concerned because that sounds crazy, but I just assumed it might be a summertime thing and then back to everyone else's regular lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's amazing. It sounds like you're going to take over the world.
Yeah. Well, this is my regular life.
Yeah. I suppose that's true. I didn't mean to suggest otherwise.
And thanks for your concern, Vish.
Yes. Well, I'm very empathetic. I don't know what it is.
I can feel it.
I've also heard that you're sort of tentatively working on a side project with the Sadies. How's that going?
Yeah. I mean, that's going sort of catch can, which I bet you'll be the album title, but we just sort of they got a busy schedule and I got a busy schedule. So we've been sort of chipping away at it. We were together about a month ago and added a couple songs, and we still have some work to do, but it's getting closer. And then who knows what happens with it after that there. I enjoy getting together with those guys too. It's a whole other universe, as these bands all tend to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy it. They're writing all the music. I'm writing all the lyrics, and we're coming up with some neat stuff. That again, I guess you do it for the company, but I'm genuinely shocked at sort of the themes and the things that you touch on based on the music you're singing to.
Right.
You know, and I guess that's, yeah, that's really, really compelling to me.
Yeah. So how far along is that project then, would you say, if you were to...
Yeah, I think we were shooting to get like 10 songs, and I think we're at about 8.5.
Okay.
So, you know, but they're on the road now, and I'm going to be on the road now, so I doubt we'll get with each other till end of the summer, you know.
Right.
So, but we're in no rush, and I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it does sound like maybe it's on hiatus, but are there any big plans for the Tragically Hip that you can tell us about as well, or...?
No, I mean, not in the near future. I think, you know, everyone wants to cool their jets for a while, and I think it'll just be the songs. When we get a bunch of songs together, then that say we should be a record, that is what we'll do.
Right.
So perhaps upending the idea that every 2 years you just convene and make a record, and the songs come pretty easily. I shouldn't say easily, but we make a concerted effort to come up with the songs, but perhaps this time the songs will come first.
Okay.
Does that sound novel?
Are you listening out there, songs? I think he's talking to you.
Yeah,
they might need your help there.
You know where I live.
Well, again, the new record by Gord Downie and the Country of Miracles is called The Grand Bounce, and it's out now on Universal Records. More information about it and all of the Country of Miracles tour dates, including their upcoming appearance at the Hillside Festival in Guelph this summer, please visit gorddowney.com. By the way, really lovely website, Gord. I don't know if you had any hand in that particularly, but it's a nice, I enjoy the website.
Yeah, thank you. I'll pass it on to the, you know, the relevant dude.
Yeah, just tell him, tell him I have no concerns. Everything's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah. He's not concerned about your website.
People should go check it out. It's a lot of fun.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no
yeah,
problem.
I do.
Before we go for good, I hoped you might pick another new song for us to hear.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess perhaps keeping it upbeat, and because I referred to it earlier, The Dance and Its Disappearance, which...
It's a lovely turn of phrase, which you I don't know if you borrowed it per se. Did you borrow it? Did you steal it?
The title is borrowed, stolen. a woman named Crystal Pite, who is a world-famous dancer the world over, except for Canada.
That sounds familiar.
Where she's from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go figure. But took everyone down to see her in Toronto. She has a dance company called Kid Pivot, and she is a writer, choreographer, dancer, a major talent, and she had done a show called Lost Action. And describing the show in the sort of pre-program I was reading, she had there was a quote from Crystal talking about what it is that dancers do. And it was beautiful and eloquent and to the point. But, you know, the long and short of it was that they were doing something of their own flesh and blood and breath, something that was disappearing at the moment it was being done, which is dance, our oldest and newest art form. You know, and I just thought, yeah, I need to yell that from the rooftops.
Well,
the dance and its disappearance.
It's a great turn of phrase, and it's a great song. This is The Dance and Its Disappearance by Gord Downie and the Country of Miracles on the Mish Vish Interracial Morning Show on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. Thank you again for your time, Gord.
Thank you, Vish. I really enjoyed it.
Dusty Dahenge. That beautiful dude, it's still me and you. All the dancing is disappearing. A beautiful dude, I've been thinking about you.
From his album The Grand Bounce, which came out in the year 2010, that was Gord Downie featuring The Country of Miracles with The Dance and Its Disappearance. Again, that interview conducted on May 20th, 2010, and it was a great honor to get to speak with Gord on the record. And I wanted to share that with you, as I mentioned at the top, because the Tragically Hip are starting what is looking like their final tour ever tonight, July 22nd in Vancouver. If you haven't heard, Gord has been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and we wish him and his family and his friends the best. That's all we can do, and some of us, hopefully you are among them, will try to go see the Tragically Hip this summer and celebrate their music and their work, because they're a very significant band for a lot of people, myself included. And yeah, that's all I have to say. Thanks to Gord for his kindness to me and generosity over the years. He has been really wonderful. So, yeah, I just wanted to hear his voice again, and so I dug through the archives and figured, what the hell, I'll share it with all of you. So, yeah, thanks for checking it out. This is Creative Control with Vish Khanna. If you've never heard the show before, you can learn more about it at vishkhanna.com. I've done like 270-odd episodes now, and it's available via iTunes and audioboom.com. You can subscribe to the show, download the show, stream the show, share the show, whatever you want to do with the show. Most of the information you would need is at vishkhanna.com, including a link to our Patreon page where you can make a flexible monthly donation to keep the podcast going. The show also is on Facebook and Twitter at Vish Creative, and you can listen to a version of this show every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time via CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph or around the world at CFRU.ca. More great episodes to come in the coming weeks. I'm still hoping to take part of August off, and that's the plan still, but otherwise, more episodes to come. Again, check out vishkhanna.com for the complete archive of these recordings. And speaking of archives, this was an archive interview. I've never done that before, never posted an older interview, because it's sort of weird to do it. It's a topical show, I think, and I think I'm better at it now. I don't know. Better at interviewing? Maybe it was the same. I have no idea. I can't be objective. In any case, maybe I'll do this from time to time. So if you have requests for old stuff that I've done, maybe prior to this show, let me know. Maybe I'll dig something up for you. All right. That's it for me for now. Have a nice weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.